Blog Talk Radio.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the next edition of the Sports Battle here on the Student of the Game, where the two combatants will work together and see indeed who is the man in this edition of the Student of the Game. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and we are here live on the National Gridiron Network bringing you football talk just the way you like it, and just a little bit more, too, a little bit of basketball in this particular edition of the debate. And, hey, let me welcome him first, because I missed him like the brother to me. He is Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley back in the house with us here. And, of course, our other esteemed judge for this matchup here, Mr. Brandon Howard. Brandon, what's going on, my man?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much at all. Just enjoying the day and happy to be on. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you, my man. Bringing a little bit of civility to the silliness that is the Student of the Game at times between me and Weasel. But enough about that. We got the judges in there. You know who that is. We all know, though, you want the taste of the combatant, the contestant, the participant, however you want to put it. Both very good friends of the show, both very good friends of one another on the air, but this time, bitter sports knowledge rivals. First off, I'm present the man who called for the challenge towards the end of the show 2 weeks ago himself, none other than the man who I refer to as the hammer, because the way he lays his sports knowledge down, the fellow big man, Big TJ. What is going on, brother?
Grateful to be in the place, man, keeping it strictly business. How is everybody doing this evening?
Oh, tight like a vice, man. You know we've been looking for this one. I mean, you know, there's been Twitter smack on this for 2 weeks. I mean, it's gotten so crazy, it's been Looney Tunes. No, no, seriously, there's been jokes about Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. It was really silly. See, Looney Tunes. See what I did there?
I got that.
I thought it was cute. I don't know. Anyways, on the other end of the ring, in the other corner, defending himself from said challenge, the man himself of the TSCRN, Mr. Nick Ficcarelli. Nicky Fick, what's going on, my man?
All right, so if I add some carbon monoxide, a little bit with some nitrous oxide, we might have the poison to... Oh, hi, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
You'll need lots of science today, my friend. Physics will need to be on your side to take on Big TJ. I'm just saying. Before we get this thing going, guys, though, any words of wisdom before we get underway?
Wow. I'm ready.
I would expect... No, okay, I'll take I'm ready. That's fine. I mean, on Twitter, you don't want any damn thing.
There's no need to drag this thing out. Everybody wants it. I've been waiting for this. Let's go.
Yeah, okay, that sounds like my honeymoon. All right, anyways, so let's go ahead and get it underway. Gentlemen, the topics are three in nature, but the rules are these. There are three topics. Each topic has a series of three rounds. Ooh, there's a lot of threes in here. The first round, the presentation of the topic, after the presentation of the topic, both sides will get 2 minutes, then get another 2 minutes for rebuttal, and then one more minute to put the cherry on it and see if they win the day. Between each round, of course, our judges will deliberate just a little bit. They can give away or hold to the chest as much as they want. It is at their prerogative. And, of course, if the judges should agree, I decide the vote, which apparently has already made someone bitter, but, hey, that's Drew's problem. At any rate, let's go ahead and jump right into it, guys. The first question we have on the docket is, this was an either-or question. Which quarterback's contract is worse for their franchise, Joe Flacco or Tony Romo? Nick, since you were somebody who had to actually beat somebody because somebody didn't show up last week, but we won't get into that, give me the options. Who's first or second?
I will go second.
Oh, there's a shocker. Nick always liking to sit back and wisely taking shots. That's okay, though. I think that plays into TJ's hands. He's more the type that will intimidate you with knowledge and awesome, not to mention that voice that should be in an R&B record. I'm just saying. It would make sense, TJ. You know I'm right. Come on now. Anyway. I thought you might. Hey, you're all business, man. I'm all fleshing here with jokes and all that. Let's get right to it. The topic is which quarterback's contract is worse for their franchise, Tony Romo or Joe Flacco. Your first 2 minutes starts now.
We absolutely have to say that it's Joe Flacco's contract who is worse for his franchise. Why? Because a big part of the reason that they made it to the Super Bowl that he won prior to getting said contract was having a guy like Anquan Boldin there to catch the intermediate passes, catch those passes whenever Flacco was in need. He could always look to Boldin. Todd Heap was that guy for Flacco early in his career, and we saw Todd Heap going elsewhere as his career started to dwindle. But Anquan Boldin was that guy for Flacco, and because Flacco took that big money, they weren't able to bring Boldin back. So what did Boldin do? He bolted to San Francisco and helped Kaepernick get to said champion, get closer to a championship. You have to understand what's going on with the NFL right now. These quarterbacks are getting big money, and they deserve it because they're the faces of their franchise. But more is expected of them. Now, I know that my opponent is going to talk about my love for Tony Romo. So here's what I'll say about Tony Romo. The reason that his contract is not worse for his franchise is because he's already restructured it. He's already taken and restructured the contract to enable them to be closer to the salary cap, considering they already had the penalties for two seasons where they had money that they could not use because the NFL was upset with them during the collective bargaining time. So 2 years down, they haven't been able to do much. Now Tony Romo, they told Tony, look, you're going to restructure. We're going to have to go ahead and wipe it out. And he's already done that, going from 21.8 guaranteed to 11.8, and the rest of it goes to signing bonus. So he's still getting paid, but he's getting paid in a different way, so it's still able to help the team. Flacco is not doing such restructuring. The contract that Flacco has is set up. We've already seen players leave because of it. And you can't get much worse than that. When you're hurting your team because you want to get paid, it's obvious and that time. Your contract is worse. And if anybody needs help, it's definitely Baltimore because Ray Rice might be.
Okay, there we go. We got Big TJ's time. Made some solid points there, too. Let's go ahead and jump to Nick. Nick, you know the question by now. And when BTR lets all the hamsters catch up here and let Nick in the building here. Come on, BTR, we love you. Please let Nick in the building. Nick?
I'm here.
There he is. Okay, good. All right. So now we know what the topic is.
I'm waiting for you to say time starts now.
I can hang up on you. What do you think about that? We can end this real quick. Anyways.
Okay.
We all know what the topic is. Nick's obviously raring to go because he's talking crap on one of the people that might be judging him later if they agree. Smart move, Nod. Anyway, Nicky Frick, your time starts now.
You know, my esteemed opponent did happen to mention that I always joke with him how much he loves Tony Romo, that he has a fat boy staring at him from the ceiling when he wakes up every morning. But I'm not here to joke about that. The fact of the matter is this. When Tony Romo received his contract, a lot of people took their hand and placed it on their head and started scratching whatever hair they had on their head because of two reasons. One, Tony Romo may put up some very good numbers. I am not going to deny that. But if there is a guy that we can possibly call the most unclutch quarterback in NFL history, it might just be Tony Romo. Why, you may ask? Because this is a guy who throughout his career has done one thing and one thing only, be mediocre at best, a 500 quarterback. Now, people say, okay, Flacco got his money and it hamstrung the Baltimore franchise a little bit because he was getting paid X amount of money. Well, guess what? The reason why Flacco received said contract is because he right now, among active quarterbacks, is number one in winning percentage. He has a Super Bowl ring, and his record in the playoffs, I believe, is like 13-4 right now. Whereas Tony Romo is lucky if he can get out of the month of December with his head intact. This is a guy who year in and year out teases you to the point where you're ready to scream in carnal delight, and then you just go limp for the reason that he makes the biggest boneheaded mistakes of all time. Case in point, Denver Broncos, greatest game that I've probably seen Romo play until the very end of the game where he throws a pick to cause his team to lose. Now, people will say, well, his defense helped give up 51 points and stuff like that. Right, But when it comes to crunch time, time and time and time and time again, Tony Romo comes up small. Now, you can give me your salary sabermetrics. You can give me everything like that. Yeah, he's making $11.8 million. In my opinion, that's $11.7 million too much for a guy that can't win a big game. Because when it comes down to it, if there's a quarterback that I would rather have in which I'm paying X amount of money, I don't care if the numbers are, not the greatest. There's a lot of intangibles that need to be involved. To me, sorry, I would take Joe Flacco over Tony Romo any given day of the week. Oh, yeah, at least he doesn't, Flacco, he prepares himself for the playoffs. He doesn't go off to Cabo San Lucas with his ex-girlfriend and one of his teammates who he may be having some sort of, gay lover's quarrel or something like that in Jason Witten. But what do I know?
And in time. Well, okay.
I'm done.
There you go.
You are indeed done. I actually dropped the clock on the floor, so I had trouble getting to it. But at the end of the day, yes, time is completed. You probably got a little extra time because I dropped the watch like a clumsy idiot. But, okay, there you go. Let's go ahead and let the judges deliberate on it. Weasel, you heard a bit first. Brandon, you've heard it first. Weasel, where you got it at so far?
Well, when I read the question, worst contract for their franchise, Tony Romo or Joe Flacco, it doesn't necessarily mean that, if they're worth the money. Pretty much right now, the way I'm looking at it is you got to bring some numbers into the picture because it could be a signing bonus. It could be different factors about how they can cripple the franchise, but it's just saying so and saying one number, they won't cut it for me.
Okay, so he's looking for a little bit more detail. That's a big favor to both contestants there. We've given quite a bit of detail. I can't front on that. Brandon Howard, where do you have it so far?
Well, I'm going to have to say that Tony Romo has the worst contract right now. Reason being,
you're not competing in the debate. We're asking who made the better argument so far. We still got two more rounds, brother.
Yeah. Let them,
right.
They got to do the work.
I'm sorry?
So, yeah, who at the end of one round, who's making the better argument so far, though?
I'm going to say that Nick is making the better argument right now.
Okay, so he's calling for a little bit of step up on TJ's side. Okay, very interesting so far. Okay, not a problem. We're going to get set up. Your rebuttal round is coming up here, folks. Big TJ, your 2 minutes, sir. BTR is doing his thing again. You got to love it. It was working last week.
Brother.
There he is. All right, cool. It's not showing me yet, but hey, that's fine. If you're ready to go, Big DJ, let's rock it. Your time starts now.
I think this is absolutely funny because ultimately what's happening right now is I'm having to fight an uphill battle because it's Tony Romo. I mean, everybody thinks that Tony Romo wasn't deserving of the money, but the question is not who is deserving of the money. The question is which contract is worse to their organization. If you have to look at it, let's look at it. Which team had to let players go because of the amount of money that they had locked in to their quarterback? It was not the Cowboys. It was Baltimore. Dez Bryant is still there. Miles Austin left because they didn't want to re-sign him. The same thing with DeMarcus Ware. Dallas hasn't had to let people walk because they couldn't afford to pay them, whereas Baltimore has. The only thing that my opponent did in his first round was talk about how Tony Romo was not deserving of the money. He talked about how everybody was scratching their head. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about detrimental to the team. And I brought up how Joe Flacco's safety blanket, being Anquan Boldin, is no longer on the team. And if you look at it, they weren't able to go after major free agent moves in this offseason, not because they didn't want to, but because, again, they are hamstrung due to Joe Flacco's contract and his inability to restructure. Tony Romo, his contract was ridiculous, but he restructured to give Dallas leeway to make moves in the offseason. The only thing Baltimore could do was draft rookies because the CBA has set them up for rookies to be paid less, and they can afford it. But they can't go after major free agents because they can't afford to pay any veteran, at least a veteran minimum, to get them in because of that contract that Joe Flacco has. We're not talking about deserving because if we're talking about deserving, absolutely Joe Flacco deserves it. He won a Super Bowl and Tony Romo has it. But Joe Flacco's contract is more detrimental to Baltimore because they can't do the things that the teams around them are doing, which is building and getting better for the future.
And time. There you go. Okay. So he's making sure that the question's clear. Okay, I can't front on that approach. Let's jump across. Nick, tell me when you can actually, you know, get in here because Blog Talk's being stupid. So let me know.
I can hear you. I'm unmuted.
All right, brother. Your time starts now.
Look, I totally understand what the question is. I have no problem whatsoever. Now, what TJ is saying, and I totally understand. But you also have to understand one thing. You can also read the question as detrimental to the franchise. Look, Tony Romo, when he signed his contract 2 years ago, to me, was detrimental to the franchise. This is a guy that continues to bring his franchise down, not because of his play, but because of his lack of leadership and his lack of clutch ability. He also counts $12 million against the cap. Now, $12 million against the cap, that's 10 million, that's 10% of your cap. If he wants, what do you call it? He has better wide receivers. I will not front on that. But this past offseason, you know, if you look very closely, he's got Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. And to be honest with you, you know, you're really looking for those second, third wide receivers. Dallas hasn't done a good job of it either because they're so hamstrung to not only his contract but others as well. But if you're looking at the overall aspect of it, Tony Romo is good for one thing and one thing only, and that's being mediocre. His career record is at 500, literally, on the spot, 500. He had one really good year in leading his team, being 13-3. Now, you could give salary cap things. You could give, you know how Baltimore is hamstrung with Flacco's contract and everything like that.
15 seconds.
The problem, though, for me, is that if you look at the overall aspect of it all, I'm sorry, it's hands down. It's got to be Romo. There's just no excuse.
Okay, well, that'll do it for the second round there. Weasel Weed, what you got?
Okay, all I'm going to say is this, and y'all respond accordingly, however you like. Right now we're talking about contracts. We're not talking about who's the better player. Anything like that's what I don't see. I think it's about what kind of contracts are they going to have a $20 million hit? Which player will have that? Something like that. But because right now it's very opinionated, and the thing about the cap, it is. But if you don't bring out facts, saying someone's a choke artist or something like that, that doesn't have to do with the contract right now.
So you are
support. I want support, and I want to know why. The numbers for one contract versus another, which one should be better?
Clear as day. Brandon Howard, what do you contribute here, sir?
I understand what Nick is bringing up there, with the things about, Romo's play and, the lack of production and, the clutch, so to speak. But I think a lot of that is, sensationalized by the media. It's something that has been overblown. And, I like what TJ has brought to the table about the numbers, so to speak, and what contract is actually worse for a particular team. The way the question is structured, I believe that the way that TJ has addressed it, it is a little bit more fitting.
There you go. So it seems like we're evening back up here. Perfect thing to do just as we're in time for the final round. So Big TJ, when you hear the beep, that lets you know you're off of mute because I can't see it on the soundboard because BTR is slow today. Let me know.
I'm here,
we'll
brother.
All right, cool. Your final minute to close your argument starts now.
One thing that you have to understand, gentlemen, I came ready to go. Weezy, I got absolutely nothing but respect for you. We've done shows together, and if you listened to my first 2 minutes, you heard me quote numbers as to why Tony Romo's contract was not worse. I brought up that he was supposed to be making 21.8 and that they restructured $10 million down to make his contract fit what the team needed. And I didn't need to bring up what Flacco was making because I know that Flacco's contract is worse. He's getting $52 million guaranteed, and he's hamstrung the team to not be able to sign Anquan Boldin. My opponent is using what he saw on ESPN every day to try and combat me, and that's not going to work. Talking about the greatest game you've ever watched between Tony Romo and the Denver Broncos and how Tony failed, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. Ultimately, who's most detrimental to the Dallas Cowboys? It's
Five
not
seconds.
Tony Romo. It is Jerry Jones. Joe Flacco's contract is worse.
And time. Wow. Okay. That's some strong statement brought there. See, this is what I got to respect about Big TJ's approach more than any others that we've done in any sort of sports battle kind of situation. He doesn't necessarily get loud, but when he slaps you verbally, it still makes some punctuation. Nikki Fick, you got the final minute. You got an argument to finish. Your time starts now.
All right, this is the first time I'm actually going to do this, but I can see the argument to TJ. Let's move on to the second question because I, what do you call it? If it's based on contract, I ain't got one leg to stand on. So let's move to the second question.
Okay.
It was kind of make a final argument.
But
then we
apparently he's going to – okay. Since there's a talent.
Look, I know you're
here,
shocked, but.
So, okay. I guess, judges, got to kind of declare TJ the winner. Okay.
Yes, TJ.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I like TJ's point about, the Cowboys making, Tony Romo's contract more palatable. I think that Nick picked the correct player as far as Tony Romo, but I think that he failed to bring up the issue with Tony Romo's back and also him trending down
exactly.
and being later in his career at the moment.
Exactly.
So, that's why, I would present, Tony Romo is the worst contract at this point. I think you had the right player, but maybe picked the wrong argument.
So, the way I posed the question, it was one player or the other. I mean, the bottom line is, going with Tony Romo's back. That if you brought that up, you got a shot. I don't know. Anyways, so let's go ahead and go to the second question. Let's go ahead and open up Big TJ since you won round one. You get the choice, sir, of whether or not you wish to go first or second here in round two.
I'll let him go first. He ain't ready.
I didn't hear you, sorry.
I'll let him go first. He's not ready.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're making the bold statement. Nikki Fick, your opponent, question your preparation. But considering that this is a bit of a history question, I suppose that will be tested. I don't even know. But, okay, there we go. So we all know that the Bulls were a big deal back in the 90s with Jordan and Pippen and won a number of championships. But the third man in what was the Big Three back before the Big Three was famous was different both times. Horace Grant for one set, Dennis Rodman for the other. The question as it is posed, gentlemen, is which of these forwards was better for the Bulls? Your time, Nikki Fick, starts now.
You know, I really gave it some heavy thought when this question was given, but I got to tell you, I'm taking Horace Grant. And the reason why is because this was a guy who was the perfect complement to the star players at the time being Michael Jordan, the GOAT himself, and Scottie Pippen. Now, Horace Grant gave you 13 to 15 points per game, and he was very efficient through offensive rebounds, finishing around the rim, hitting the mid-range shot, and he had decent post-scoring skills. Now, he was vital to the Bulls' pressing, because remember, the first three championships, the Bulls were more of a pressing team than people were led to believe, and Grant's defense was so underrated, it wasn't even funny. On the offensive end, he would be used on the pick and rolls, which, what do you call it? He worked very, very well. Now, that is something that a lot of people think, well, Dennis Rodman got a lot of rebounds and stuff like that. But guess what? If you watch some of the tapes of Dennis Rodman doing a pick and roll, Rodman at times neglected to get to the boards on a pick and roll. He would also provide very decent and clutch shot blocking and post defense. This guy during the triangle offense was so underrated in the passing, it wasn't even funny. It wasn't even funny. I mean, what do you call it? Grant was such a very vital piece to the puzzle. It wasn't even funny. Now, let's get one thing straight here. I know I have no shot with Dennis Rodman and Horace Grant in rebounding, because we all know Dennis Rodman was one of the greatest rebounders of all time and stuff like that. But what do you call it? Defensively, you know, everybody said Rodman could check three positions on any given night. Guess what? Grant could, too. And he always was the better shot blocker. I know I got 2 minutes in another minute. I'll wait
time.
For that. Fuck this shit.
No, it's only 2 minutes, but thanks anyway.
yeah, no, whatever.
All right. So BTR is doing a funny dance. So Big TJ, let me know when you hear the beat, man, because I can't even see it right now on the board.
I'm in, brother. I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Right on. Cool, man. Fair enough. Let me get my clock right. And your 2 minutes starts now.
It will be easy for me to let y'all know why the Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman is better than Horace Grant. I'm not going to quote what he did prior to coming to Chicago. This is purely what he meant to Chicago. What he means to Chicago is this. He still holds the record for rebounds in the season with 1,201. He still holds the record for average rebounds in the season at 16.1. He still holds the record for rebounds in a quarter with 14. This man meant everything to Chicago. And why does he mean everything to Chicago? Because the man himself, Michael Jordan, lobbied to get Dennis Rodman brought to Chicago whenever he came back for that second set of three championships. He didn't want Horace Grant. He didn't care about Horace Grant. Horace Grant and Michael Jordan did not necessarily get along. Did they win three championships together? Absolutely. And he did a great job wearing his goggles. But when it came down to it, when Jordan came back from playing baseball, he said he wanted to get serious. He was done wearing number 45. Back to number 23, he was calling for the man with the rainbow hair because he knew that that triangle offense needed somebody that was going to rebound for Jordan, who was going to shoot the ball, for Scotty, who was going to shoot the ball. And, yes, you're talking about defense. Let's talk about Rodman, who made first-team defense 5 seasons, two of which while he was in Chicago. Second-team defense the third year that he was in Chicago. So he is first-team defense 2 years, second-team defense 1 year. I think the defense goes to Dennis Rodman, not to mention the fact that the MVP season that Karl Malone had, when the Utah Jazz played the Chicago Bulls, Karl Malone averaged less than 20 points in that series, and he was an MVP. There was a game that Dennis Rodman held Karl Malone down to 6 points. Dennis Rodman was a beast for Chicago, and Jordan wanted him. End of argument.
Okay, he's a few minutes early, but it sounds like he's quite finished. Wee Louise, your impression.
I thought I heard you say 15 seconds, man. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're fine, dude. No, I'm not knocking you. You can. I'm not like Alyssa Michelle. If you don't use all, you had 8 seconds left. You're good. No. And even if you don't use all your argument, I'm not like Alyssa Michelle, who's begging for you to fill the time. Of course, then she doesn't show up here last week for any time. But then I digress. Wee Louise, how you got this so far?
One thing, I'm split between the two. Some good comments were made by Nick about Grant. And Grant there. I'd like to be bringing in other aspects into the game argument, too. And TJ, you did very well, too. So look forward to see the next round.
Brandon Howard.
I think both of you guys brought up excellent points. The point that I liked that Nick made was passing out of the post in the triangle offense, that was very critical to that offense. That's something that a lot of people miss out on when they talk about the comparisons between Horace Grant and Dennis Rodman. So that was an excellent point right there.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, what I got was a specialist player filling his role extremely well versus a guy who was more versatile. You know, I think, hey, that's the reason why I picked this question. That's why we have an interesting argument. I'm going to leave it at that. Nikki Fick. There we go. Nikki Fick, when you hear the beep, let me know, because Blog Talk Radio is still being slow. And I just made a little rhyme off the cue. Thank you, BTR, for inspiring that rhyme, if you've done nothing else for me tonight. There we go.
I'm good.
Nikki Fick. All right, cool. Your 2 minutes starts now.
You know, I'm impressed, TJ. I really am. But there's one stat you kind of sort of neglected to mention, because to be honest with you, I could care less if Michael Jordan went to Bulls management and begged, pleaded for Dennis Rodman. The thing is, for those 3 years before he decided that he was a baseball player, Grant was one of the most integral parts of this, of a team that won the first three championships. And here's a stat that you neglected to mention, because when you look at the overall statistical effect on both players, a stat that really encompasses the player's overall effect on his team's success is what's called win shares. In short, it's a statistic that calculates the offensive and defensive effectiveness of a player, thus determining the contribution to their wins team total. In layman's terms, so I can make you understand it very carefully, my good sir, is that how many more wins that person gives to a team. Well, here's what. Grant dwarfs Rodman, and it speaks to his effectiveness as a two-way player. In the three title teams that Grant was on, his win share total was, in the following 3 years, 10.3, 14.1, and 9.1. In Rodman's three title years, and this is a lot of people that they get shocked and, you know, have the bug eye look when I say this, his win share was 6.2, 6.0, and 7.8. Now, obviously, according to Weasel, numbers don't ever tell the whole story, but to me, that's a pretty huge discrepancy. I mean, you're talking an average of more than 7 points on win shares. Yeah, I kind of sort of want to lean towards Grant on that. I'm done.
Okay, it was good because you were right on time pretty much. I'll take that. Okay. So, again, I think we're still hitting the versatility and versus the singular impact of the player concept, not to mention basically points augmenting both sides there. Still staying with the versatility versus the solid at one job concept. Here's the lead. Tell me what you got so far.
I'm looking forward to this next round. I actually read about the win shares for Horace Grant. So I think that was a good point picking up. And I'd like to hear from TJ too, because it's going to be close.
Yeah, definitely. I see where you're going. Guys, you got to know, Weasel is our research guru here on the show. So if you're going to try to stump him, good luck with that. Brandon Howard.
Actually, he brought up something that I had no idea about. Which is something that I have done little research on, but as he explained it, you know, that was a pretty cool thing to learn about. However, you know, I let my eyes kind of, you know, tell me what it is that, you know, I like in a player and what I don't like. And, you know, the fact that, you know, one player is very versatile, the other one, you know, was great at pretty much one, you know, one job. And that's kind of the crux of the argument here. It's like, what do you prefer? You know, what's your flavor? And that's what it comes down to.
Fair enough. Okay. Big TJ. Let me just go ahead and let him in here. All right. See here. Did I give Big TJ his second 2 minutes yet? No, I did not. Okay, good. I was right.
I didn't give him my second, no.
Okay, I didn't think so. I wanted to check. And there we go. Big TJ, your second 2 starts now.
I absolutely understand Nick bringing up win shares. I absolutely respect that, and I think the reason that Horace Grant's win share is higher is because he was involved in more of the offense. He actually scored and played defense as opposed to just being dominant at one thing, which was rebounding and defense. I totally get that. But ultimately, we're talking about who was more effective for the Chicago Bulls, and I have to say it's Dennis Rodman, because he did his job great. He was not an average guy. Horace Grant will never make it into the Hall of Fame, and if he doesn't, it's going to be later. Dennis Rodman wasn't average. He was great at what he did. He was a 6'6 power forward that dominated rebounding in an era that was dominated by big men, Shaq, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Tim Duncan. We're talking about some giants. And Dennis Rodman at 6'6 was still able to do his job. Say it because it's his off-the-court antics and people don't want to get with him, it doesn't matter. This man, during his career, averaged 13.1 rebounds per game for his career, and he played for a very long time. During the time that he is in Chicago, I have pointed out to you the records that he still holds because he is that great at what he does. It's not about his offense. It was never about his offense, never. Dennis Rodman hadn't been about offense since he was in high school. His job is to get rebounds and play defense. He shut down MVPs, talking about Charles Barkley and Karl Malone when needed, and he goes in and rebounds to kick the ball out to one of the greatest players to ever play the game and one of the greatest number twos to ever play the game. His job wasn't to score. His job was to shut people down in the post in an era dominated by big men, so Jordan didn't have to play multiple positions. He could just worry about offense. That's what Dennis Rodman offers. So whenever I look at 1,201 rebounds for one team in a three-year time span, absolutely I give the nod to Rodman because Rodman deserves it. He's just that great.
Okay, there you go. That'll do it here. And we'll get to the final round of this debate after the break. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network.
National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week till the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across your football landscape. NGN, football talk, just the way you like.
And we are back here at the National Gridiron Network. You know, I've never seen such a mix of fun and business at the same time. I'm sweating because it's so intense between these two cats talking their arguments, but I'm still having a lot of fun doing it. I don't know, am I in the right place with that concept, Weasel?
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds about right. I mean, heck, dude, I haven't seen you that intense in a while. You're usually talking about some stat I screwed up or making fun of me. You're locked in here, man. I'm glad to have you aboard as a judge, and of course, always glad to have you aboard, Mr. Howard. I'm sure you're having fun still here as well, without any question.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. So let's go ahead and get to the final round of Grant versus Rodman. Nick Ficarelli. Yeah, I got to get make sure I got the clock right here. 1 second, okay. Let me know if you heard the beep yet, man. Okay, good. Thank you.
Good.
4 minutes starts now.
You know what's funny? TJ said that Dennis Rodman shut down Charles Barkley. No, sir, I'm sorry, because the year that Charles Barkley played the Chicago Bulls was in 1992, 1993, and that was the year of the first three-peat. And guess who had to guard him during that time? That was one Horace Grant. And that's when they beat the Phoenix Suns in six games that year. Secondly, you have to understand one thing. You talk about rebounds, and you always gave the numbers on that. I don't front that one bit. Trust me, there's one thing I concede about this is that Dennis Rodman is one of the greatest rebounders of all time. But you got to understand one of the best defenders of all time. You got to understand one thing, though. When you put the whole package together, you were talking about a guy that did everything for the Chicago Bulls during that first three-peat, whether it was pass, score, block shots, rebound,
and
besides,
time.
By the way.
All right. Gentlemen, when VCR catches up with all the buttons I'm pressing here.
That was a quick minute.
That's what the clock said.
That was a quick minute.
Well,
I think you got cheated there, Nick.
Yeah, I'm
back.
It's all right. It's all right.
Do you want to keep the time, Brandon?
Well,
anyways, if you got a problem with the watch I'm using of my wife's, I would have you kindly take it up with her. At any rate.
No, that's okay. That's all right. I don't want no problem.
I thought it might be. At any rate, Big TJ, your minute starts now.
When I was talking about Dennis Rodman shutting down Charles Barkley, I was not talking about in the finals. I was talking about in the regular season. So you use that as an opportunity to plug your guy, and I totally respect that. Kudos to you, sir. but we're talking about what he meant to the team. You talk about Horace Grant being all everything. He, I mean, at his best season, he averaged 14.5 points, and it was less than 10 rebounds a game and less than 2 blocks a game. But you say he's all everything for Chicago. I don't get how that is all everything. I'm not trying to pop my guy up to be anything more than he was, a great defender, which is why I told you he made first-team defense twice and second-team defense once. I'm trying to make him up to be a great rebounder, which he did his job. I'm not trying to make him all everything. He wasn't. But he was a great Dennis Rodman.
And time. Was that a good minute, Brandon?
Yeah. I think you did all right. That's all right.
Nah, that seems a little short, too, though, don't it?
Where's Louise? Let the deliberation begin. This one definitely went a lot better than the first round. Who you got? So actually, before you tell us who you got, take us through what you heard in the arguments.
Well, for Horace Grant and Dennis Rodman, the only thing pretty much right now what they have in common is they both played power forward, and they were both involved in three-peats. But the thing about Horace Grant was, I liked how Nick said, like, he did it all. It was the wing shares. That was a good point to bring up. And with TJ, definitely Rodman was, one of the best rebounders ever. He always did his job, mostly defense and the rebounding. The only thing is offensively, though, he wasn't there. I think 6 points was the highest he got average. So I got to give it to Nick because of the more thorough analysis with
versatility.
That's a good one. So good stuff by TJ, but Nick's going to get it so that because of the impact and the stats, and I think that was a good way to go.
Yeah, it's not that you're taking anything off of TJ's argument. This is definitely a close one, I'll grant. Brandon Howard, who you got? Well, actually, tell us what you heard in the argument first, and then give us who you got.
Yeah, just due to the sheer dynamic of the question, and the fact that these are two players that are pretty much, like, totally diametrically opposed to one another, like, this is what makes it so difficult to judge. But I do like TJ's point. Being that the Bulls were a team that didn't like to really get into half-court sets, what Dennis Rodman meant to that team is that he could, get the defensive board, and then he could outlet, get it to the guys on the run. While Nick made the point, him being able, Horace Grant being able to identify, back cuts and things like that in half-court sets and, the triangle offense, that does make a lot of sense. However, the sheer nature of the Bulls and what they wanted to do is that they wanted to get out and run, and so that's why I do have to give it to TJ on that one.
Wow. Y'all split. So now it's my problem. I could just hang you up, Nick. Damn, I didn't even get an opportunity. You're already trying to sell me out. Come on, dude. No, but in all seriousness, you both brought up interesting stats on both sides. I like how you both brought up that either guy did their job at different times, granted, for the Bulls, but to shut down key guys on defense. It was something that I feel both you guys had to bring to show versatility. TJ mentioned that, Rodman did more than just rebound. He was able to kick the ball out to the top of the key and give it to scorers after rebounds, keep plays alive. The win share thing was certainly a big thing when it comes to Horace Grant's side of the argument. Absolutely. The scoring, all that was great. I have a Horace Grant jersey. I respected what he did as a member of the Magic, but that's not what this debate is about. At the end of the day, the point that I heard that I thought was very interesting was what they did beyond their strengths. We both know that Rodman was the huge rebounder. We both know that Horace Grant had that murderous 17-foot shot just beyond the top of the key that I learned to shoot as a high schooler just because I loved watching. No, I'm just kidding. But look, at the end of the day, guys, this is tough. This is a tough argument all the way around. Just like Brandon said, it's greatness in one spot or versatility all the way around. Where I'm at right now is when it was after Jordan left. There was a whole, the pre-45 era, they were still going for that four-peat and were still a viable group. Bayan knows. It even hurts me to say this because all the crap he was talking about me and nonsense he was talking about me on Twitter. I'm going to give it to Nick, but don't look anything into it, TJ. It hurts me to award it to him. Anyway. So with that aside, we'll go into our third and final topic. 2014 is coming up, and guys, perhaps the second most pathetic division in the NFC was that of the NFC North, having won half a game over 500 to decide the division leader. In 2014, different story. Well, 2013, I'm sorry, was where we had that pathetic record by the NFC North. 2014, we hope, for the sake of all fans just watching football in general, it's a different story. In 2014, the question is simple. First of all, do you want to go first or second, Nick? And who will win the NFC North? Nick, your decision, first or second?
I will go second.
Again, sitting back, seeing what he has to deal with. Can't front on that. Of course, didn't really work out for him in the first round, but we'll see how that all goes. And BTR is being silly. Big TJ, let me know when you hear the beep, brother.
I'm in the place.
Okay, he's in the house. Big TJ, who is the best? Who is going to win the NFC North in 2014? Your time starts now.
The NFC North is going to be won by the Chicago Bears. I know they're shocking to a lot of people, but I'm going to tell you why. The landscape is set up like this. Minnesota, the team of Nick Ciccarelli is going to be a dumpster fire. No disrespect, but it's going to be a dumpster fire. Let's move on. The Detroit Lions, they are decent. They've got a lot of talent, but they've got a new coach. It's not going to necessarily be great. Green Bay won the division this last year with a half-game lead. They kissed the sister and had a tie in their win in their tie column. It was like 8-7-1. That doesn't happen. It's ugly to look at. But the Chicago Bears, the reason I say that they're going to win the division is this. They've got a lot coming back. Yes, you've got Jay Cutler, and you never know what's going to come with Cutler, but the weapons around him are set up for him to be successful. You've still got Forte. You've still got Alshon Jeffrey, who showed last year that his rookie season was a bleep on the radar for what he was going to have as a career, and Brandon Marshall is still that guy. The Chicago Bears had five people elected to the Pro Bowl, and they're all coming back this season, whereas the Green Bay Packers, who I'm assuming my opponent is going to choose, didn't have anyone elected. They had an alternate in Eddie Lacy, and then he went and played and did his thing. But look, the Chicago Bears have actually a really good schedule set up where they don't have to play the New Orleans Saints like the Green Bay Packers do. The Green Bay Packers, to me, have a more difficult schedule. Why? Because they won the division last year, so it's going to be harder for them. And let's also add to the fact Green Bay's woes. James Jones is gone. Donald Driver is gone. They haven't been a complete team since those two receivers were on the team. You do have Jordy Nelson coming back and Randall Cobb, but you know what I'm saying? That's it. We're used to seeing Aaron Rodgers spread the ball out to a lot of people. And defensively, I know I'm going to have to talk more about the defense in a little bit, but Clay Matthews is the only guy on defense, and he stays hurt. Chicago's got it.
All right, fair enough. Certainly seemed like a strong opening to me. We'll jump over to Nicky Chick here. Let me know when you hear the beat. Blog Talk's being silly.
Yep.
Okay, we got him. All right, cool. Nicky Fick, your 2 minutes starts now.
Wow, my opponent has ESP. Let's all give him a round of applause because he knew I was going to pick the Green Bay Packers. Shocker. Congratulations, TJ. You just won yourself a buck and a quarter to get yourself on the subway. And the reason why I'm picking the Green Bay Packers is the following thing. They are led by one of the top three quarterbacks in the game by one Aaron Rodgers. Now, let's be honest. Last year, this team was beset by injury upon injury upon injury. If there was a team that had the logo of the Red Cross right next to it, it was the Green Bay Packers. They lost both offensive tackles. They lost their starting quarterback for a specific period of time. They lost their tight end who was on his way to having a career season. They lost three quarters of their secondary last year. And yet they still found a way to win the division, even with Detroit being pretty much fully healthy and Chicago pretty much being fully healthy. TJ forgot to mention one thing in his argument, the coaching staff. I'm telling you right now, the Green Bay coaching staff is one of the most well-prepared coaching staffs in the NFL. We can talk about position players all we want. Mike McCarthy did such a yeoman job with a patchwork team going into the final game of the season that they still had a shot at winning their division. Now, yes, they struggled when Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year. But you look at the overall aspect of it, they still had a chance to win the division, and guess what?
They did.
They came back, they won the division, and this year they are set up, and I will talk about it in my next 2 minutes, they are set up to win in 2014.
Time.
There's your historical perspective.
Well, there you go. Okay. Pretty strong arguments both sides. We the Weeds. Tell the people what you got so far.
All right. Well, with TJ's, I did definitely talk about the weapons for the offense. And with the Packers, we said that, you know, there's less on D. But I'd like to hear the rest for TJ.
I can hear you drooling for more there.
Yeah, there's definitely the offensive side, but I think you'll cover the other side for them.
Yeah,
but
that's indeed what he promised us.
With Nick, yeah, I did understand with the Packers there was a lot of injuries for them,
mm-hmm.
which included Rodgers. So
yeah.
I think I can have some good points, and it's good that y'all are going back on each other. So
Brandon Howard.
Yeah, I think you guys have the right two teams picked out to kind of go back and forth on. You know, I like the point about the injuries there. I like that you know, TJ was able to go through pretty much the roster and what the benefits are, what the Chicago Bears have right now, and what their advantages are at this point, what their strengths are. So you know, you guys both presented some very strong arguments, and I'd like to see where this one goes.
Very, very, very good point. Okay. Both good points, both sides. Pretty even argument. Big TJ, let me know when you got the beep, and we'll start your second round.
I'm ready.
There he is. Okay. Your 2 minutes starts now.
I do not have ESP. I do not want to go back to the quarters. I knew you were going to pick Green Bay because it's a lazy pick. It doesn't require you to have to work. And as you've shown thus far, you're not ready for me. You conceded the first round, and they gave you the second one so that we would have to debate the third one. So let's go ahead and get into it right now. The Chicago Bears defensively have made changes. But look, the Chicago Bears went 8-8 last year, having lost their quarterback, because you're talking about injuries. So let's talk about injuries. They lost their quarterback, and not to mention one of the greatest linebackers to ever play in the game, talking about Brian Urlacher and what he meant as a quarterback for that defense. They locked in as well, and they still were in contention for that division. Why? Because your team kissed the sister and had a tie with the Detroit Lions. No, excuse me. They had a tie with the team that finished dead last in the division, talking about your Minnesota Vikings. But defensively, what did Chicago do? They said, you know what, we're going to get rid of Julius Peppers and bring in the leading sack king over the last 5 years, and that's one Jared Allen. This defense is going to be absolutely set up to be nasty. Why? Because that's what they're going to be. The defense is set up with fast linebackers, and in the draft, they went and got Kyle Fuller, a very tall, very ball hawkish cornerback out of the ACC from Virginia Tech. They are absolutely set up for success. And what do? They backed up Matt Forte and went and got Corey from Arizona, who anybody has ever seen. A rich wide offense is very, very fast and upbeat. Corey is going to be absolutely nice. Excuse me, Carey is pronounced Carey. Carey is going to be very nice for Chicago backing up Forte. This team is set up for success because they got niceness coming back, and they drafted very well. The only argument you have is Aaron Rodgers. He is nice, can't win it by himself.
Came out strong. Gotta love it. And don't worry, TJ, I'm not going to take offense that you just called me Tim Donaghy up in this piece. I thought it was funny. I know you're not going after me personally. It was a great delivery. I'm just saying.
It's awesome.
Nikki Figg, let me know when you hear the beat, brother, and then we will get your 2 minutes underway. Come on, BTR. You want to work.
Okay.
There he is. All right, cool. Your 2 minutes starts now.
Wow, bold words from a bold man. I'm shaking in my boots. All right. Okay, what just happened there?
You're still here.
Hello? All right,
you're
because I just heard the thing go off again. All right, well, let me get my 2 minutes then, and here we go. Okay, you said it yourself, you know, they only have Aaron Rodgers. I really would like to know, have you done your homework on the Green Bay Packers lately? Because apparently you haven't been paying attention. Remember, this is the second year now that Eddie Lacy will be in this offense. Remember, Eddie Lacy was just a rookie last year and was pretty much running roughshod over defenses as soon as he got really comfortable with the offense. Guess what? He's very comfortable with the offense now. Now, you're talking about a guy that can actually take 250 carries and probably run for over 1,200 yards in this offense. And not to mention that he's backed up by two pretty decent running backs in Jonathan Franklin and James Starks. You talk about the wide receivers. Okay, you talked about Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb that lost James Jones and blah, yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what? Second-year receiver Jared Boykin last year, 48 catches for 681 yards and three touchdowns. And that was in a rookie year when he was thrown into the fire. And they went out and they drafted Devontae Adams from Fresno State, who played in a pro system that's similar to the Green Bay Packers when Derek Carr was throwing him the ball, and now he's being thrown by Aaron Rodgers. He'll be just fine. You want to go on the defensive end? Well, guess what? There's a reason why they took Clinton Dix at the 21st overall pick, because they needed a safety to help police the defensive backfield, which is, again, going to be very, very healthy. And don't forget, they're getting Brian Bulaga back, who was an all-pro tackle a couple years ago. Last year they lost him because he blew out his knee. Well, guess what? Rodgers' blind side is going to be protected very well.
And time. Okay, strong pair of arguments. I'm going to skip the deliberation here because time. And your final minute, Big TJ, when you hear the beep, let me know, because BTR and the awesome soundboard and the way it's going so far.
I'm in.
There he is. All right. Big TJ, your 1 minute starts now.
I like the way you're pushing your team. You're absolutely pushing your team. Now, here's what you have to understand. It's a debate. You have to make an argument. You also have to knock mine down. You haven't said anything about Chicago. You haven't brought up anything about Chicago because you know my team is legit. You know my argument is sound. 5 Pro Bowlers from last year, all coming back. Both wide receivers are tall as hell. They're going to give your boys trouble. Ha Ha has a hilarious name, but he is not going to be able to stop Alshon Jeffries and Brandon Marshall. Defensively, great. They got Julius Peppers, but there's a reason why Chicago let him go. They feel like he's losing the step. Why do you let him go to somebody in the division? Because you feel like he's losing his step. My team is set up to stop your team. That's why we went and got cornerbacks to stop your passing game, and we got Jared Allen to go after your boy and hogtie Aaron Rodgers. That's the way it's set up. Your team, look, your linemen are set to block for the pass, not for the run. Anyway, he's not going to have as great as God, I was feeling myself. God,
we still love you, Big TJ. It's father time that I eat you, brother.
No, I understand. No. I apologize. I didn't want to run over.
Hey, you're okay, bro. You're okay. Actually, you still a pretty strong argument. You know, hey, it happens to all great defenders. Don't think too much of it. Nikki Figg, let me know when you hear the beep. And if you don't get a chance to hear all of us live, you can check us out on Overtime on www.thesotg.com. I will throw it up on Twitter so everybody can view the outcome of this matchup. Mickey Fick, we have you.
Yes, you do.
All right. Your minute starts now.
I'll give you two words that, what do you call it, to go against your team. Jay Cutler. As long as he's the quarterback of the Chicago Bears and looking at his hangdog look and the way he likes to be, the gunslinger and everything like that, Chicago will not win that division.
Here's another reason why your team won't win that division. You said that you let go of Julius Peppers and you signed Jared Allen. To me, you went backwards on that. Why? Because Jared Allen, like Julius Peppers, supposedly, is getting old and losing a step. So you went for a Minnesota retreat rather than keep Julius Peppers. Okay, understandable. We'll move on from that. Also, you have to understand one thing. You talk about Alshon Jeffrey and you talk about Matt Forte and you talk about Brandon Marshall. They had these guys last year. They had the division set up for them on a silver platter. What ended up happening? They still finished 8-8. So will someone please explain to me how the Chicago Bears are the favorite to win this division? Because I sure as hell can't. So please, take your argument, shove it somewhere, and go bye-bye.
The most intelligent point ever made on this show. Shove it somewhere and go bye-bye. Awesome. I'm just laughing. It was funny. What? Why are you judging me, Weasel? I'm having fun on my show.
I'm ready. I got you.
Weasel, tell us what you got.
Okay. With TJ, he was, I would say he was very descriptive. He talked about the defensive players. I like how he mentioned Jared Allen. And the offense definitely addressed that. And I like the both of them actually, you know, talking about like the draft picks and such.
Right.
But for Nick, of course it's going to be Rodgers. Eddie Lacy was a good point. That slipped my mind and that reminded me. But for I'm going to give it to TJ because he did mention both the strengths and of each side of the ball. And I was wondering about the whole Jared Allen thing. A guy that has 11.5 sacks last season and is one of the top in 5 years, compared to a guy that had, what, I think it was 7 sacks last season. And if that was calling that a downgrade, I was like, really?
Wow.
But
Viking fan on Viking fan crime right there, folks.
But pretty much it was more encompassing, not much. Didn't hear much about the defense for the Packers. And so I'm going with TJ.
There you go. Fair enough. Brandon Howard, who you got? Or excuse me, take us through and who you got?
Yeah, both of you guys presented some really good facts there, and you both spoke about the incoming players from the NFL draft. You also spoke about the offense and the defense. TJ, you spoke about the defensive side for the Packers and Ha Ha Clinton Dix, and I definitely understand where you're coming from with that because I don't view him as a rangy guy who can play single high or has the instincts to play single high and get a jump on the football or the range. So I don't really think that he is going to be able to be that guy that gets over the top. So you made a good point in saying he has a hilarious name and, you know, at times, he has a hilarious game. So Nick, you spoke about some of the players for your team or for the Packers, but I don't think that you went as far into depth about what the Bears have coming in as well and kind of knocking down what it is that they're bringing to the table and what your team has to kind of defend against, what the Bears are bringing to the table. So I'm going to go ahead and give this one to TJ. Another player that, a lot of people aren't talking about but should be talking about is Colt Lierla, who's come on to the Green Bay Packers and actually has looked great by all accounts and is kind of, trying to keep his nose clean. So if he comes aboard and he kind of changed the, dynamics of that offense, we're going to see some fireworks there in Green Bay. But that remains to be seen. I do think right now that Chicago is the favorite, so I'm going to have to side with TJ.
And with that, your champion for this particular matchup is one, Big TJ. Very close, very honorable matchup. At the end of the day, though, we got Big TJ. Nikki Fick, before we let you go, let all the people tell where they can find you and any sort of parting words you may have for us tonight. No, we don't even get that. Okay. Love you too, Nick. Big TJ, put a bow on it for us, sir.
Yeah, this is absolutely a phenomenal time. You can follow me on Twitter at BigTJ2020. It's because I can see everything clear vision, baby. I knew this was going to happen. Thank you guys for the opportunity. Judges, thank you all for doing your thing and judging so very well and going with your heart and with your mind because you knew it was always with me. Holla at your boy.
Hey, Before you take off, I was still a good judge even though I was Tim Donaghy, though, right? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, that, if we were straight up about it and I won the second one, there would be no need to have the third argument. Then we would have just had fluff for the last 15 minutes. You wanted to keep the people involved. Look, I understand it. I would have did the same thing. Respect.
No, in all honesty, and I'll be real, it was the points thing for me when it came to Ho Grant. I can see why I look like Tim Donaghy. I probably won't ever be able to prove to you that I wasn't Tim Donaghy here, but I assure you, sir, that's not how I roll. But that'll be okay.
Look, once he conceded the first argument, the debate was over.
This is why I have you on.
Once you bend over and show, look, I tell my lady, once you bend over and show me your backside, it's a wrap.
Now that is true wisdom right there, Big TJ, man. Thank you very much for coming on tonight. Great time all the way around, and for giving us that parting pearl of wisdom.
Y'all have a blessed one, man. Peace.
All right, peace, brother. Judges. Fantastic time. I mean, look, Big DJ got a point. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but Nick just conceding that first round without even mentioning Tony Romo's back got to be the flub of the entire discussion. I'm just saying.
I think the thing about the
I think you got to mention Tony Romo's back, in that one.
Yeah. Go ahead, Weaver.
Just was saying that sometimes in debates, if you just give your best at the end for your final argument, you don't know what the other guy is thinking. So you may as well go for it. If you lose, you lose. You go on to the next round. But just conceding like that, waving the white flag, I didn't like that.
Hey, you want to know who doesn't do that? Somebody whose theme is this song right here. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been one fun, fantastic, and intense episode of The Student's Game. I am Kyle Nash, The Student's Game. You can find me on Twitter, at TheSOTG. Check out my dude, Weasel Wing!
Yeah, boy!
At Weasel, TheSOTG. And, of course, Brandon Howard, you're going to have to help me with it because I know it's Dash Diallo 1, I believe, on Twitter?
Yes, DashDiallo 1, the number 1, on Twitter. So you can find me
That's
there.
That's right. And I still saw that number 1 style draft analysis you dropped in your judgment there, sir. Thank you very much, both you gentlemen, for your contributions this evening. But until next time, guys, class dismissed.
All right.